Good evening and welcome to the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast. I'm your host, Eric English. Well, we have some dramatic turns in the cryptocurrency market. Ethereum is at an all-new low. It went below $300 today. Today's Monday, August the 13th of 2018. So all the bad publicity about the Ethereum network not being able to handle all the transactions, the Binance CEO saying all the bad things about them, their price has taken a dramatic hit. Ethereum Classic did as well. Ethereum Classic was trading around $12 earlier today. But Ethereum under $300 is incredible to see. Bitcoin's still kind of floating around $6,300. Last week we got just below $6,000 and came back up. It got up as high as $6,800 and then it went back down to $6,100, up to $6,600. And it's kind of floating around $6,400. Over the last few days. Other cryptocurrency news, Monero has jumped up into the top 10. So while Ethereum is taking a huge dump, Monero is making a comeback, and they're actually up in the top 10 now. We talked about a couple of weeks ago about Ethereum and, you know, other cryptos that are looking to overtake Ethereum, and the Binance CEO said the same thing. EOS is probably one of the biggest ones. They're also in the top 10, just below Ethereum. So look for EOS to make a big jump and overtake Ethereum here in the next probably, I'd say, year or two. I think that EOS will overtake Ethereum. Ethereum's really going to have to make a huge change. What that change is, I don't know. But they need to win back the fan base that they had. And I think the biggest reason Ethereum got so big was because of all the cryptocurrency mining that was going on. People just flocked to it because you could make thousands of dollars a month just mining for crypto. So people would do that like crazy. And now you can't really mine for it and make any kind of a profit. So people are turning away from it. People are shying away from it. So there are alternatives. Obviously EOS is one, but you can't mine EOS. So there's a downfall in that. But I think we're getting to the stage where they're going to start making blockchains without having to mine. It just makes sense at this point, being able to use blockchain for something other than, you know, a cryptocurrency, for example. And our friends at Ripple, they're way down. They were 29 cents today. So the whole market's really just taken a huge hit over the last few days, all because of that decision from the SEC that got postponed. Anytime there's any kind of regulation, people get spooked and everybody starts selling off their stuff because the regulation could mean that they're going to close down the exchanges. So anybody that's got any kind of crypto sells off what they have and they get rid of it because they think, hey, I'm not going to be able to use this exchange in my country. China, big example. China has their own firewall so they can block people from doing whatever the heck they want. So if China all of a sudden comes out and says, nope, no more exchanges, and you live in China, guess what? You can no longer not only sell and trade on that exchange, but you may not even be able to get your money out of that exchange, depending on how quickly they decide to cut things off. So that's why, it seems like that's why at least, people freak out. And the market takes such a huge hit when there's any kind of speculation about regulation. So, sad news for us crypto fans, but we got to keep the faith and hopefully we'll see a little bit of a bounce back later on in the year, maybe. But aside from that, the only other news that I wanted to talk about was the Galaxy Note 9 phone that's coming out. I'm not sure if how many Galaxy Note fans that there are in the world, but I have to say that one looks pretty damn slick, and the new S Pen, all the new features that it has, all the new capabilities, also just looks really, really incredible. I'm probably going to pre-order one. They're saying that it's the closest thing we've been to having a desktop / cell phone all in one. They're trying to bridge that gap slowly but surely. Samsung also came out with a Tab S4 or something, and they're touting that real big. Like, you can hook it up to two monitors and all kinds of other stuff. So apparently with the Note 9, you can also hook it up to monitors and do all kinds of interesting things with it. So I thought that was pretty cool in the tech industry. As far as breaches go, it's been kind of a slow Monday. I guess that's good in the grand scheme of things, but there wasn't really a whole lot. There was some stuff about D-Link routers, had some DNS tampering, but only in Brazil. I don't know, understand that one. And there's also some stuff about different, though. So there was the manufacturing company, and the name slips my mind right now, but they got hit with a WannaCry ransomware here recently. We talked about it several podcasts ago, but they got hit with that ransomware, and they're just now recovering from it. And it just goes to show how bad that ransomware stuff is, but they're just now recovering, and it's been at least 2 or 3 weeks since it. So they've said that they're losing money and yada, yada, yada. And yeah, I'm sure they are. You know, it's why you have to invest in security, people. It's not that hard to figure out. Security is risk management. It's not just IT overhead. I think there's a huge difference that people overlook. Security is about your data. It's about your customers. It's about securing your customers' data. It's about securing your reputation. It's about securing your brand and being a good company that people trust. I think that's the biggest thing and the hardest thing to build in anything, and just in life in general, is to build trust. How do you build trust if you're constantly getting hit with ransomware, or you're getting hit with whatever it is? You're getting a breach or whatever, all kinds of stuff like that. Ruins your credibility as a company. People don't think about it that way. They look at IT security as overhead. It's just an additional IT cost, and they don't want to pay for it because they want to be more profitable. And that's fine until something happens, and then they change their tune. And then they say, oh, well. But by the time you change your tune, it's usually too late. I'm sorry to say that, but you have to be on board with securing your infrastructure from day one. That way it secures your reputation, secures your brand, secures your customers' information, and continues to keep your company profitable. Otherwise, people aren't going to trust you, and they're not going to do business with you. It's pretty simple. Been tinkering around at work, still trying to figure out that Office 365 issue that we had, where you can bypass the spam filter by sending it to our onmicrosoft.com addresses. We've actually opened up a ticket with Microsoft. We've been going back and forth with them. Apparently, this is just a rampant issue. Nobody seems to have an answer so far, and it's been pretty frustrating. The only really solution that we found so far is to have some sort of an on-premises exchange relay system where everything goes to that first. And I'm just not real sure that I like that. It would either be our initial relay or the relay behind 365. 365 would relay it to another system, and we'd do additional filtering there on the back end. Because right now, Proofpoint's filtering the front end. It gets sent from Proofpoint to Exchange 365. But not if you send to that on Microsoft.com address. It goes right around Proofpoint. So in that scenario, we'd need something on the back end of Office 365 to do additional filtering. So trying to fight through that still and figure out what the hell we're going to do to get this damn thing fixed, because to me it's a huge gaping hole and a huge security risk if you can fish our employees and get right around our spam filter with little or no effort. And nobody seems to have an answer to it. So we're still looking. We're going to keep fighting with Microsoft, and hopefully they'll have an answer for us eventually. But the other issue is the cross-tenant routing that they do with, you know, if you're already a 365 customer and you send an email to another 365 customer, it never leaves Office 365. So that again is bypassing a spam filter. It's just not good for anybody, and it's not good for spam. It's only good for hackers. And I don't understand why Microsoft does it this way and why Microsoft chooses to ignore the rules of the internet. Essentially, I mean, you know, DNS, you point your mail records to go to a certain place, right? You don't point them to go, you know, where you don't want them to go. You point it to your email servers, and your email only goes there. Well, Microsoft ignores those. If it's already a 365 customer, it stays internal at Microsoft and never leaves. So it's a huge issue. And hopefully somebody over there can give us some sort of answers and some sort of a solution without having to have some sort of back-end filtering that we're going to have to pay additional money for. That's not why we signed up for Office 365. That's the whole reason we got it, was to save money, not have all that infrastructure, not have to worry about all this crap. Well, now if we have to have some sort of back-end system doing additional filtering, that's more money we have to spend, and one more thing we have to monitor and make sure it's secure and make sure it's running and patched and everything else. It's just not okay. So anyway, I have turned off my crypto mining systems. The market is really bad right now, so I've turned everything off until things come up. So I hope they do. That's all I got for today. There wasn't too much in the breach news today, so I guess that's a good thing. But hopefully our markets come back to where they need to be, and maybe we'll have some additional cybersecurity news tomorrow as well. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening.